Basic Bible Doctrine, Chapter 62, Blessed Sabbath Rest. Scripture, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The text that heads this page is a call to rest. Here the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the God-man mediator, our all-glorious Christ, bids weary, heavy-laden sinners to come to him and find rest for their souls. Call it a command if you like. When the King of the universe bids you do something, his bidding is a command. Call it an invitation if you wish. I have no problem with that either. When the all-holy, infinite God condescends to speak to hell-bent, hell-bound sinners, when he bids those sinners come to him and live, that is the sweetest, gentlest, most tender, gracious, and merciful invitation in the world. Whether we hear these words as a command, or hear them as an invitation, it matters not. The only thing that matters is that we hear them. Here is Christ's word to lost, ruined, guilty sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is no salvation to be had but by coming to Christ. There can never be any true, peaceful, satisfying rest for our souls except we come to Christ, trusting him alone as our Lord and Saviour, trusting his blood as our only atonement and his obedience as our only righteousness. Only Christ can give weary sinners rest. Here is the Master's word to us all, both to the unbeliever and the believer. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. In all circumstances of life, we find rest unto our souls only as we voluntarily submit to the rule and dominion of the Son of God as our Lord and King. The only way to find rest is to willingly slip our necks under his yoke. When we do, and only when we do, we will find that his yoke really is easy, and his burden really is light. I bid you now, whatever your circumstances, take the Master's yoke upon you, and find rest unto your soul. Take upon you the yoke of his grace, bowing to him as your Lord. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Take upon you the yoke of his doctrine, his gospel, bowing to him as your prophet. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Take upon you his yoke of providence, trusting him as your God and Saviour. Psalm 31, verse 1, 5, 7, and 15. Only in this way do we find rest for our souls. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The call of the gospel is a call to rest, the blessed rest of faith in Christ. It is this rest that the Old Testament Sabbath day pointed to and typified. All things relating to Sabbath law in the Old Testament pointed to the necessity and blessedness of that rest of faith which believers enjoy in Christ. In this study, we will see from the Word of God what was required for the keeping of the Sabbath in the Old Testament law, what the purpose of that law was, and why we do not and must not keep the Old Testament Sabbath day. Non-essential. Sabbath observance is not essential in the worship of God. The first observance of a Sabbath day mentioned in Holy Scripture is in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, where we are told, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Though it is not mentioned by name, here we see the first observance of a Sabbath rest. The Lord God himself rested on the seventh day from all his work. This is what it is to keep the Sabbath. It is to rest from all your work. Though he kept the Sabbath, there was no other mention of it for 2,000 years. Adam never kept a Sabbath day, either before or after the fall. Yet he worshipped God and walked with him. Abel never observed a Sabbath day, but he worshipped God. Enoch walked with God, but he never observed a Sabbath day. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but we never read of him observing the Sabbath. Abraham was the friend of God, but he did not keep a ceremonial Sabbath day of any kind. Throughout the days of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though God was believed, worshipped, loved, and honoured by his people, not one of his people kept a Sabbath day. Even Joseph, that great eminent type of Christ, never once observed a Sabbath day. Were these men antinomians? Were they evil, licentious, wicked men? To even suggest such nonsense is offensive. These were men, all of them, who walked with God. They were holy, righteous, believing men. They did not keep a Sabbath day because God did not require them to do so. Yet they worshipped God. My point is just this. Sabbath observance is in no way essential to the worship of God. Sabbath established. The ordinance of the Sabbath observance was established by God in the wilderness at the same time that manna was given from heaven. Exodus 16 verses 22 to 30. The manna portrayed God's provision of life in Christ, the bread of life. The Sabbath portrayed God's provision of rest in Christ. It is specifically called the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So the people rested on the seventh day. The children of Israel were commanded not to do any work on the Sabbath. They were not even allowed to pick up manna on the seventh day of the week. In Exodus 20 verses 8 to 11, God's law strictly prohibited everyone from doing any work on Saturday, and even prohibited him from having anyone under his authority do any work. Those who would impose upon us the cardinal ordinance of Sabbath keeping, those who would bring us back under the yoke of bondage to the law, compelling us to keep the Sabbath day, compel us to do what they themselves cannot do. I know that many teach Sabbath keeping as a rule of life. They would impose upon God's saints strict rules and regulations for Sabbath day observance. But all their teaching and preaching in that regard is sheer hypocrisy. Not one of them observes the Sabbath day. Their teaching regarding the Sabbath are just a fair show in the flesh, Galatians 6, 12 and 13. Their pretended reverence for the law of God, when closely examined, reveals a total disregard for God's law. They sift through the commandments, pick out what they like, and simply ignore the rest. Let me show you what I mean. Here are four things required in God's law for the observance of the Sabbath day. If the Sabbath day is observed, it must be observed in such a way as to include all four of these things. Number one, the Sabbath day must be observed on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Exodus 20 verse 10. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. It never has been. Sunday is once called the Lord's Day, but only once, and then with no instruction of any kind about the matter. It was the day of Christ's resurrection, but nowhere in the Bible are we commanded or even permitted to observe the Sabbath on Sunday. Number two, no work can be done on the Sabbath. None. Exodus 20 verse 10. Works of necessity and works of mercy were permitted on the Sabbath, but no one was allowed to do any work of any kind for himself, or to benefit himself. If you want to keep a Sabbath day in accordance with God's holy law, then you must not, under penalty of death, light a fire for cooking. Exodus 35 verse 3. Gather wood for burning. Numbers 15, 32 to 36. Carry any burden. Jeremiah 17 verses 21 and 22. Travel. Exodus 16, 29. Or do any business. Amos 8 verse 5. Anything which might be construed as a matter of personal profit or pleasure was expressly forbidden on the Sabbath day. Isaiah 58, 13, 56, verse 2, Ezekiel 20, verse 12 and 21. The essence of Sabbath worship was absolute, unreserved, unconditional, all-encompassing self-denial. It was an utter renunciation of self and an utter dedication of one's self to the Lord God. Number three, in addition to these things, any genuine observance of the Sabbath day necessitates a return to the ceremonial law of the Old Testament. The Sabbath day cannot be observed without the offering of a double sin offering, a double meal offering, and a double drink offering, and those offerings must be made in the temple at Jerusalem. Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. Number 4. There is one more point which cannot be ignored. Those who insist upon keeping the Sabbath must also demand the execution of all Sabbath breakers. Exodus 31, verse 15. The very same law that required the observance of the Sabbath also required the death of those who broke the Sabbath. If a man wants to keep the Sabbath, he must also be willing to stone to death anyone who breaks the Sabbath, even his own son or daughter. Do you know anyone who observes the Sabbath day in this way? I do not. Not even the most orthodox Jew, the most strict Adventist, or the most heretical Russellite in the world observes such a Sabbath. Those who pretend to observe a Sunday Sabbath do not even come close to the requirements of God's word regarding Sabbath observance. It is obvious that no one observes the Sabbath day in a literal sense, and no one has for 2,000 years. Jews do not observe it. Catholics do not observe it. Protestants do not. Reformed people do not observe it. Those who pretend to observe it only make a mockery of the Sabbath day by their hypocrisy. Their Sabbath keeping is nothing but a fleshly show. Why not keep a Sabbath day? Why do we not observe a Sabbath day? Why do we refuse to observe a literal Sabbath day? What can be wrong with setting aside the first day of the week and requiring God's saints to keep it as a Sabbath day unto the Lord? Should we not at least allow the observance of a Sabbath day by those who want to do it? We do not and must not observe a literal Sabbath day for precisely the same reasons we do not and must not observe the Jewish Passover or any other legal ceremonies of the Old Testament. The Sabbath day which God required the Jews to keep was, like all the other carnal ordinances of the law, only a temporary, typical ritual of the law, which represented, portrayed, and typified the Lord Jesus Christ and our redemption by him. When the Lord God established the Sabbath, when he instituted that ordinance of worship, he gave two reasons, and only two reasons, for its observance. Number one, the Sabbath day was to be observed by Israel as a symbol of God's rest, Exodus 20, verses 8 to 10. It represented the completion of God's work, the finality of creation, and God's total satisfaction with it. Though God's creation has been marred by sin, though the slime of the serpent's tail has polluted it, the book of God speaks of a time called the time of restitution. The Sabbath day portrayed that day when all things shall be restored to God, and that restitution began when Christ died and rose again. Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Colossians 1, verse 20. Number 2. The observance of the Sabbath was designed by God to be a constant reminder to Israel of their redemption out of Egypt. As such, it was a picture of our redemption by Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. Like all other aspects of the Mosaic law, the Sabbath was a picture prophecy of our perfect redemption by Christ. As the Jews rested from all their works on the Sabbath day of the week, eating the manna, the bread of life which God gave them without any works of their own being done, believers find perfect rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not and cannot observe a legal, literal Sabbath day because Christ is our Sabbath and we rest in him. In the New Testament epistles, Romans to Revelation, the Sabbath is only mentioned in two places. It is mentioned in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts many times in connection with the Jews and Jewish worship. But in those epistles that prescribe all ordinances of divine worship in this Gospel age, it is mentioned in just two places. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, Hebrews 4, verses 3 to 9. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. As we have seen, the Apostle Paul, writing by divine inspiration, forbids the observance of a legal Sabbath day, on the basis of the fact that in Christ every believer is completely, totally, entirely, and forever freed from the law. Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 10, verse 4. Hebrews 4, verses 3 to 9. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. The word rest in these verses is the word normally translated Sabbath. Here we are told that all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ keep the Sabbath spiritually, truly keep the Sabbath by faith in him. How do we keep the Sabbath by faith? Just like our God kept the first Sabbath. We come to Christ, believing on the Son of God, ceasing from our works and resting in him. This is our Saviour's word of grace to poor, needy, troubled, heavy-laden sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.